you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show in Chicago. It's a very, very good show.
Afternoons on the Score.
A 1-2 pitch again. He struck him out of the fastball, out of the zone, and that was heat upstairs. He needs two. The 3-2 pitch to Castellanos struck him out. He ties Ed Walsh. The 3-2. Strike three called. He's got the record. He got him looking. He got McCann looking at strike three, and he breaks the record of 107 years of Ed Walsh. Congratulations, Chris Sale. Here's what they sound like at U.S. Cellular, saluting one Chris Sale. Sale for the win tonight on a night when he set the record of strikeouts for the White Sox that lasted 107 years. Oh, brother.
What are we doing here?
Chris Sale, still good at baseball, a Cy Young favorite and an All-Star. In fact,
35 years old, and he says he's learned a lot from his years of not pitching because of injury between 20 and 22, and is now rolling for a great organization. You said it, man. Cy Young favorite. I got a bet on him. I placed a couple of months ago.
Oh, nice.
He started to look real good. I was like, boy, wouldn't that make all the sense in the world? Guy goes to Atlanta, finds greatness again. And there he was on display last night, among many other tangents of Chicago baseball.
Yeah, well, because it's really disappointing, just the Chicago baseball representation. Garrett Crochet, unbelievable story, unbelievable season, but the lone White Sox representative because every team needs to have one. Not that he isn't deserving, of course he is, but every team needs to have one, and he'll be wearing a White Sox cap for another 2 weeks.
Ugh.
And then there is Shota, who is a great signing and a seemingly great guy and great story and a front office win, but the Cubs are supposed to have four guys at this All-Star game.
Yeah, it's supposed to be one of those kind of years.
It's supposed to be one of those kind of years.
For sure. You think Seiya is supposed to be there? Either Dansby or Nico and Steele.
Yeah. You know, so it's very disappointing that Shota.
Porter Hodge ought to be there.
Very disappointing that Shota and Crochet are the only Chicago representation there. And then with Crochet, is he going to go down this list when he's meeting other guys at the All-Star game of former White Sox that then go to All-Star games because they didn't get paid by the White Sox?
Steve Greenberg did a really nice job writing up a White Sox column and a Cubs column in the Sun-Times. So the Cubs won about Shota, and we can talk about Shota. But the White Sox won about Sale and Reynaldo Lopez that also references Garrett Crochet. Just made me feel like those three guys all kind of exist somewhere on the space-time White Sox continuum. That all leads to a grand question posed very well by Chuck Garfine. What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
I mean, Chris Sale was brilliant and never truly pitched in a game of consequence for the White Sox. There was a moment in 2012 where it looked like, oh, maybe Sale's going to pitch in some meaningful games here down the stretch. And then they fell apart in that September, and that was that. You know, And Reynaldo Lopez, they tried making him a reliever. They tried making him a starter. They tried doing everything. And then he's like a throw-in with Giolito for a trade. And right now you could look, maybe it's him who's been the best pitcher in the National League. Chris Sale says in the article, says, I think that guy's been the best pitcher in the National League. And they're talking about their shared White Sox memories. Hey, do you still talk to Don Cooper? How are his birds? Do you still talk to Don Cooper? You know, and then there off to the side is Garrett Crochet answering questions patiently about what team he's going to be on in 2 weeks. What are we doing here?
So is the question, though, hey, these guys were all here. They're still good. They should still be here. Or is the question, why were you not able to do more with them while they were here? Because The answer to why are they not here is very simple. Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't believe in paying long-term dollars to pitchers.
It all just leads you to that maddening bit of frustration about ownership and failures to really make the most of good players when they have good players.
But you understand what I'm saying. They are two separate questions, because it is debatable that you do not want to sign pitchers to big-time contracts and pay for their 30s. That is a reasonable thing that people in baseball basically agree on, honestly. Some teams just do it more than others because they're trying to actually win.
No, that's true. Chris Sale's 3 years of inactivity under the White Sox aegis could have happened here if they'd signed him to a big seven-year deal. Could have had all those injuries eventually come back to haunt him here.
The Sale trade, at least in terms of the return, was celebrated here.
Mm-hmm. At the time.
But I think we have to be fair when we talk about that sort of thing. Like, it was celebrated. The guy cut the jerseys. They weren't going to win with him. He was going to be too expensive. Yeah. It was too injury prone with the delivery.
But there's
unbelievable prospects that came back.
So yeah, it's not just. I'm not talking about the decision to trade them and not pay strategically, because that is certainly up for viable debate. I agree. I'm talking about the inability to put together a winner with greatness here. They hit on Chris Sale. Completely hit on him. They completely hit on Garrett Crochet. And I think they're about to trade him away just like they did Chris Sale. Crochet's never going to start a game that matters, you know, for the White Sox if they deal him away here, just like Sale never ended up really starting a game that matters here. So it speaks to their overall failures as a franchise more than just the cheapness, which you could argue has a place in baseball if you wanted to argue it.
How does it hit you guys as at varying degrees of White Sox fandom in the present tense? Like, seeing all of those guys still be good enough to be at the All-Star game and knowing, hey, they could be here, but they're not.
Well, like, you know, each of them is his own case, right? Like, I love seeing Ronaldo Lopez have success because I always was a believer in that kid and he could do those things. So we saw it for a very limited time when he first got the opportunity to start when they first traded for him. So I knew he had that in him, and I thought he was a little bit misused under Tony and not really given a directive like, hey, this is what you are. It was kind of like, you're just getting us out of innings here. So I'm happy for him. And the whole Sale thing, it's like, I was so upset at the time in 2016. I was tired of watching him go up against the best pitchers in baseball and outduel them almost every 5 days. And I was tired of seeing Jose Quintana not pitch in any real meaningful games, just like Spiegs was saying. So I was cool with knowing that Chris Sale was probably going to be a Hall of Famer, because the Sox needed to choose a direction at that point. We're going on almost a decade ago. But the problem is, they're still there and history is repeating itself. And to Danny's point, it's like, why is this happening over and over and over again? You know, it shouldn't be this way. Like, no one would have thought that, like, the idea of telling a Sox fan back in like 2021, when Garrett Crochet was getting meaningful outs in a setup role, like, if you would have told Sox fans then, like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be a dynamite starter, we would have been like, oh, yeah, I could see that. But, like, one of the best, if not the best in baseball, and then he's going to be on the trading block after being named an All-Star, people would say 3 years ago, how did we get here? What happened?
Right. Like, we're back to being this bad that when that guy hits and turns into everything you could have ever dreamed he would turn into, then you're just going to send him out the door.
Which is, you know, what we talked about briefly yesterday, but like, they're going in this direction of a forever rebuild. They're continuing with this, but I don't know who is going to supplement this roster if they decided to keep Garrett Crochet. Let's say Garrett Crochet takes a Chris Sale deal when he signed that team-friendly contract. Like, how are they going to build the rest of this team? And I've got my doubts. So as a Sox fan, I'm like, all right, just trade them then, you know, because I when you get older, you just want to see talent live up to their fullest potential, whether it be with your team or another team. You don't want your team dragging down someone with this talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, that is a...
Yeah, I like that guy. No, that's Tanny.
Sox fans, I'm sure you guys can relate out there. I'm not the only one. I can't be.
I like that guy, and he'd be better off somewhere else.
Yeah, it's part of our identity, man.
That's where I'm at. It took Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez's recent success for me to reach a complete point of indifference with the White Sox. Like, it was all sadness. It was anger first, then it was sadness. Like, why can't I have the nice things in my organization that my friends have in theirs? I have so many Rangers fans, friends out in Texas. They're having a great time. They're having a great time. I've got Orioles fan friends. They're having a great time.
Yeah, you are not having a great time.
I've hit a point of elation for those dudes because they deserve it. Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez. But I'm at indifference with the organization. I don't care anymore. I can't tell you the last time I watched an inning.
To your point, Shane.
An inning.
I remember in the last days of Chris Sale, great movie. But like going out there, want to go to the ballpark, like, you know what? Like, in case they trade this guy, I want to go out and see him one more time.
See him one more time.
And I have not gone to a game yet this year, and I want to see Garrett Crochet pitch, but it's like, what's the point?
Well, really? They just told you that the innings, they're gonna control his innings with desperation.
Right, which I get.
But it's about between now and the deadline.
Yeah, and I get, but what does that do to your fan base if, like, someone like me who says, yeah, what's the point of going to pay my money to see him pitch because we know he's not going to be around? Like, that type of apathy, that's going to just stay there for generations and generations, because this is how history keeps repeating itself. Time is a flat circle with this organization. Yeah. Keep seeing it over and over again.
Over and over and over and over again. Sale was talking yesterday at the All-Star Media Days about Mark Burley, that he is who he is because of watching Mark Burley. He's like, the job was to be healthy and to go out there every fifth day and pitch as deep as you can in games. That's just what you did. That was it. He called Burley the gold standard. And he was. And it's like, and there's a connectivity to that. It's connectivity from Burley to Sale to all these guys and down to Crochet, but it all leads to a big empty pile of nothing, and it sucks ass.
Because it's not basketball where one guy can save you. And so I have been lamenting the lack of stars on the Cubs, but they've got a lot of guys who are 5 through 25, 26 on a roster. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, man, they don't have the true guys at the absolute top of a roster. The Sox have churned out some guys who are absolute top of the roster guys. Maybe you say that's luck. Maybe it isn't. But then it's like they have no ability to support it with anything. And in baseball, that doesn't really get you anything either.
No. It gets you to where you have a couple of pieces and maybe your fans fall in love with somebody who you then have to turn around and deal.
And it's weird because, guys, I don't know if you've had this thought recently like I have, but I found it seems like it's harder and harder to know how to build a winning baseball team.
The tank rules, right, and the draft rules changed it.
Yeah, those things are changing, so like you can't really set yourself up for that type of stuff anymore. But just in terms of like throwing a bunch of money at problems, that doesn't work. Trying to tank and get premium talent, quote-unquote, that doesn't always work.
Because you need so much, and the specialization of it means you need a volume.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Of bullpen pieces that nobody can really find with consistency. Like, you end up leaving yourself open to failings that every team has. I was thinking about it on Saturday night. Porter Hodge, right? He's a punchline I used last segment. But Porter Hodge, he'd been really good. 12 out of 13 appearances unscored upon for the Cubs, right? Saturday night, that game they're trying to win against St. Louis, he gives up.
I like it when they try to win.
Yeah, me too. They should run that play more.
It's just how you should approach professional sports.
They lose a game because they don't have enough offense, and then Porter Hodge gives up a double to Paul Goldschmidt, probable Hall of Famer, and a single to Nolan Arenado, probable Hall of Famer, okay? You need guys like that you have discovered and crafted out of your own farm system and turned into effective dudes and then trust. You have to have guys like that. I don't even know who to fault on that. You can't fault Council for putting out Porter Hodge. You could fault Jed for not having more guys, but even great teams. Last year in the World Series, the Diamondbacks had this kid, Andrew Salfrank, who nobody had ever heard of, who came out of nowhere, was great for them in September in the playoffs. Josh Spores of the Rangers was great for them in September in the playoffs. Nobody had ever heard of those guys. They don't make the World Series without those guys. You have to have, to Tanny's point, some kind of magic bullpen creation from your system, or else you don't stand a chance.
Yeah, you better draft, you better develop, and you better be teaching the game the same way, the correct way, from the lower levels and even back to, you know, the Dominican and Venezuela. Teach it the same way at every level, and the reality is that's difficult, and that costs money, you know?
And it takes a unified vision, which the White Sox haven't had for decades.
They never have.
Well, it's hard in any corporate structure to get everyone to, and I'm not, like, absolving the White Sox of blame here, but it's just to have, like, the elite organizations have that. Not every, yes. Most of the organizations just don't.
It's absolutely true.
But the thing where the White Sox are an outlier, and this is what makes me so angry, yes, it is hard to win. Yes, it's hard to build sustained success. But the White Sox don't even do a single thing right outside of the food at the park. Like, even the worst organizations in professional sports have maybe one superstar. And yes, the White Sox have Luis Robert, but he hasn't proved it yet. They don't do anything right.
I forgot that they have two representatives at the All-Star game. The Campfire Milkshake is there tonight.
Yes, it is. Right? Yeah.
So
that was big.
Could have won the Home Run Derby last night if it tried. Most boring sporting event I've ever seen.
Whoa!
It sucked.
The milkshake and a, like, tip a little straw or tip the cherry, tip the marshmallow.
A marshmallow, yeah.
Tonight when introduced, yeah. The marshmallow comes off the straw. That's a great visual right there. Now starting from the White Sox, the Campfire Milkshake. Shane, most boring sporting event? What?
The Derby? I watch the Derby every year. That was the worst one in my 32 years.
Wow.
Worst.
You should have come over to my house. It was a big hit at my house.
Yeah, it's dangerous at your house last night, though.
Well, you know, you got
no regard for tornadoes.
You got Christine rooting for Teoscar Hernandez just because he's Latin. And she's like, yeah, we need one. We need a winner. I don't want Alec Boehm to win.
Yeah, there have never been any successful Latin players in baseball.
The same.
God. You do the same thing at your house?
Hate on the white guy.
Just
I get
me,
it.
Yeah.
So you got that. And then Ruben was so connected to the Derby because of MLB The Show. You can do Home Run Derby on MLB The Show.
Okay.
And Pete Alonso is his guy. So he was locked in. He's locked in from moment one of the Derby. Like, here's my guy, Alonso.
Well, he sucked.
He sucked.
You know I'm very partial to Latins.
We know.
Hawk would have been welcome on my couch.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a really bad Derby.
It was a tough watch.
Objectively,
I thought it was great.
They
40
it.
Pitches is way too much, brother.
Tighten it up.
Way too much for all the rounds.
It shouldn't be longer than a game. Games are shorter now. I'm sorry. This is what they've created. It's what BO has created.
Wow.
This product should be shorter as well. It just makes sense.
Wow. I'll send you my wife and child next year for the Derby, and it will improve the quality of your experience.
She's going to send them to you. In the mail.
Improve the quality of yours by losing them or his by gaining them?
Yeah, exactly. Don't ask too many follow-up questions.
I don't want to respond to that.
The other thing...
It was really bad. Softball game was good, though.
It's supposed to...
I didn't watch your softball game.
I didn't either.
Oh, you didn't either?
No, I didn't watch.
It was the second best event of the year.
I was in and out of sleep. It was on.
The Derby
but...
put you to sleep. You're blaming the Derby for you not watching softball.
Yes.
The Derby is supposed to be kind of like the hot dog eating contest of baseball. It's supposed to be like Americana and gluttonous and all about.
So we let a Latin win?
Chicks dig the long ball, that sort of thing. No, Berman should do it.
Yeah, he should.
Carl Ravitch, like, and where is the stack?
Wait a minute.
What?
Zach Berman?
No, my guy Zach Berman, ZB.
Zach Berman should do
no,
it?
No, Chris Berman should be back. He hit one to Lake Forest.
Back.
Yeah, whoop. Like,
haven't been down here in Texas since Fettuccine Alfredo Griffin was playing the outfield.
Oh, yeah, definitely would have been better.
Yeah, he was smooth.
Dude,
look creamy.
It's like a boring talk show during the Derby. It's very understated. It's supposed. Benetti did the Statcast of it. That was gone. That was also too like.
There's a Statcast
now.
Yeah, Kevin Brown did it.
Last night, Kevin Brown got that gig from Benetti?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
That's so perfect.
I can't listen to Eduardo Perez. It's me calling home runs. I can't listen to Eduardo Perez.
How about top of Todd Frazier singing Sinatra tunes?
He was okay. Todd was okay.
I thought he was pretty good.
They rolled the Todd father out there, which I did not know he was part of their panel of analysts, but it's like, here he is.
I think he was just an all-star break grab for the Derby. Two-time Derby winner, Todd Frazier.
It should be yelling and fireworks and pomp and circumstance. I don't need analysis during the home run derby. It should be silly. There should be targets out there. We should be playing games. If you hit this target, someone in the stands gets a car. If you hit this target, someone in the stands gets $10 million.
I love that, actually.
If you know, it should just be a...
There should be more targets of things in the stands.
It should be a circus. It should just be... There should be
guys get up there and do takes.
Yeah, there should be a moat. There should be trampolines.
You want a gorilla on a unicycle?
That'd be cool.
Gorilla.
What if you had... Like
I know broadcasters could come and do their best panther impressions.
That'd be incredible. But what if there was like, all right, so like a Cub is hitting and there's a Brewer outfielder who could be on a trampoline who could jump and try to rob home runs. or kids could be out there with nets, like tennis rackets.
I love the all-star
or paintball guns.
Yeah, to knock down the ball. Like, you should be able to play some form of defense. It should be a...
We should just hunt human beings during this thing, actually.
Hell yeah.
The most dangerous game.
At bare minimum, put a dog shock collar on him, and every time you don't hit a homer, you get a little buzz.
Yeah, a little punishment.
Send Alec Baldwin out there with a stunt gun.
Can I get some stakes? Can I get some actual stakes attached to this sporting event? Why do I care if I don't have money on it?
Free my boy Alec, by the way.
They're going to free him.
He's free.
He's free.
He's been free the whole time. He's going to continue to be free.
They should have him play Russian roulette out there. He's standing in center field with a revolver, one round in there.
I'm just saying.
So you want defense? You want guys on trampoline playing defense?
I want cool gimmicks.
You weren't the only one, Danny. I hope you feel better after hearing this.
Molly, this is one for you.
And
you know, a lot of people will say, "Oh, you know, Joe Buck, he doesn't like the Cubs, and I'm sick of Joe Buck, and I'm sick of this guy." You know, when you get away from like the icons of calling things,
play him off with that music.
If you watched that last night and you didn't miss Chris Berman, then you're really not a good sports fan, because that was...
Thank you, Dustin.
...brutal. That broadcast is boring.
Wow.
At least some personality, at least some life. I mean, I could have used a whole lot more of back.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's another guy who needs my wife and child on his couch.
I'm with him. Little bit of fun. We don't need a serious broadcast for a non-serious event. It is not a serious event.
They should put people out there to call it who have never called baseball before. That would be fun.
Well, look, I mean, you don't need a guy out there doing shtick. You don't need someone who's boring. Like, you know, someone like Benetti would have been perfect.
Benetti would
someone
be great.
Someone who knows how to do a talk show type of vibe.
Yes.
And smart and fun. Yeah.
Kevin Brown
isn't calling USA Basketball.
Kevin Brown would be perfect as well. Kevin Brown's really good.
Jason Benetti's the only one capable of doing that job appropriately.
Sorry about that.
And of course, listen, I'm not saying don't tell Teoscar Hernandez's story or Bobby Witt's story, or, you know, obviously promote the guys. They deserve the platform. It's just there should be...
You didn't like Gunnar Henderson's Scooby-Doo impression?
Didn't
speak for you?
How about Buster Olney, that dumbass, dropping the ball and not asking him to do the impression? Like, Eduardo Perez had to ask him when he was walking behind the desk.
Yeah.
Like, Buster's like, "Oh, yeah, you do a nice Scooby-Doo impression, huh? Okay, see you later." And he's walking back.
Good to know.
Eduardo's like, "Hey, Gunnar, can you do it for me?" And he did it. It was wonderful.
There you go. That's good TV.
See you later.
I was probably watching the tornado at that point.
Probably.
I was watching the weather.
I did not heed the warning in the South Loop.
This was off air. I was like, "Didn't your screen like turn blue?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's when I went to the app." I'm like, "Well, I changed to the weather after I got control of the cable box."
I never got back.
And so most people stopped watching the Derby and started watching the news to see if they were going to, you know, die.
I did not feel warned.
And Speaks was like, "Alec Boehm. It's coming up."
Shane told me his lips are very bright red. I need to see pink. This. Oh, pink, whatever they are. They were very pink on my app.
They were very pink on your app.
They were.
Okay.
They showed up nicely there.
Mark Grody at 4:00. We have a, I don't even really, you're calling this the odd couple of Bulls reporting, which is an interesting way of framing it. So it's next on the Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.